Good morning. I hope that everyone had a great time over the holidays and a good start to going back to work or to school. If you would grab your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 17. We're going to start a new study today that we'll look at over the next few weeks, and we're going to look at the life of Elijah, the preparation for, and also the way that God used him. So to be able to talk about him, we need to know what's going on. We need to know what God used him for, why he was a prophet at the time that he was. It's coming, I promise. I'll get there. I'll start to where we've been, all right? We have talked a lot about Joshua. Joshua is one of my favorites. He led the Israelites into the promised land after they have rejected God's mission, right? They wandered for 40 years until many of them died. God was their leader. God was their king. He led them. He provided for them. Once they got into the promised land, the Israelites asked to be like everyone else, and they wanted a king. So God gave them what they thought they wanted. He gave them a king. Ultimately, there started to be division. Even with King David, his own son came and tried to bring corruption and tried to talk the people away from following David. And so, ultimately, there became a division amongst the Israelites. It came even after Solomon, who started off being a good king, and he's known for his wisdom. But even with his leadership, especially during the end, as he started to have all these wives, there started to be corruption and idolatry, and so idolatry started to be pretty widespread among the Israelites. The kingdom divided, and as the kingdom divided, there was the northern kingdom, which was 10 tribes. It was made up of 10 tribes. It was ultimately would be known throughout the Bible as Israel or Ephraim. Then there was the southern kingdom, which was the kingdom of Judah. They are made up of two tribes, Judah and Benjamin. And so throughout the Bible, these are what is talked about, the two different kingdoms, the northern kingdom of Israel, the southern kingdom of Judah. And it's talked about and described, and here throughout the book of Kings, 1 Kings and 2 Kings, we are told of 20 kings in the northern kingdom and 20 in the southern. Now, the kings are described in the Bible as those who kept God's word, those who followed after him, and then those who didn't. There's some questions that come as of these kings to help decide who they were. And there's three main ones that we could look at. Did they worship the God of Israel alone? Did they rid Israel of idolatry? And were they faithful to the covenant? If they were, then these were good kings. And so in the northern kingdom, there were zero good kings. 20 out of 20 who were evil kings who did not follow the things of the Lord. In the southern kingdom, there was 8 good kings, and 12 of which were evil. Now, I tell you all of this, and some of you love history and all of that, but I feel like we need to know where we're at and where the kingdom of Israel is before we can understand why God is using Elijah or why he has called him to what he has called him to. As we discuss Elijah, we're going to look and really kind of focus in on one king, and it's going to be in the northern kingdom. It's the king is the king Ahab. Ahab was, remember, there's zero good kings in the northern kingdom, so he was an evil king, but there was something different about Ahab. Ahab, and it seems to be the case as another king is introduced, it is introduced as saying, and this king did more evil in the eyes of the Lord than all the kings before them, right? That seems to be a pattern. But Ahab had done something way beyond what any of the other kings had done. He had married a wife named Jezebel. And Jezebel was the daughter of a priest of the god of Baal. And because of the way that she was brought up, when she came to Israel, she also brought with her all of the prophets, or many of the prophets, of Baal and Asherah. And so there began this widespread worship of Baal and Asherah among the Israelites. Idolatry. But it went even further because King Ahab also allowed there to be things set up in the temple of God that worshiped other gods. Completely blasphemed the name of God. And so because of that, there was a prophet that was lifted up who would come and speak on behalf of God to the king. Baal, just so you know, is a god of was a fertility god, was believed to enable the earth to produce crops and also children. He was seen as a sun god and worshipped as that. Baal was also looked at as a storm god, or one that brings the rains. Many times he's depicted as holding a lightning bolt in his hand. He is widespread worshipped throughout the people of Israel. And one of the things that, this worship of Baal, even went to child sacrifice, to temple prostitution, and all sorts of sexual acts within the temple that would be considered worship. Some that are too vile for us to even talk about. And I say all of this to say is that we see that there is this perversion of worship that is happening in Israel. And so God chose throughout the Bible to raise up prophets who would come and speak on behalf of God. And so here is what the job description, if you will, of the prophets as God would use them. The first one is that they would speak on behalf of God. That is so gross. I got stuff going all the time. I apologize. It's distracting me. It may you. I don't know. But they would call out idolatry and injustice. They would call to repent and follow the word of God. Thank you. All right. But God used them, and Elijah is no different. And so Elijah is used. He is going to speak on behalf of God. He's going to call out idolatry, and this will be his call, that they need to repent. They need to turn to the things of the Lord and trust him. And so, as we start and as we begin to look at Elijah, I want us to see a couple of things. The first one is as God often does, he called one man to stand up and who would be willing to stand up for the things of God and to that would ultimately bring change or to make God known. And I just want to say that should bring you and I great confidence. That I believe that many times we see God may lead one of you to stand up for what is right and what is true and what is godly that would bring transformation or change, maybe to your whole family, the future of your whole family. It may be one student who is willing to stand up for what's right at school that would change the whole direction of many other students. It may be one of you adults who stands up for what is right at your work and what is true and what is godly that would bring change. And you see, but the thing is what happens is so many times we look at what it may cost us, and so instead of standing for what is right, we bow to what it may cost us. And Elijah's no different. Think about, he is asked to go, as we're getting ready to read, he's asked to go and stand before the king who has the power at his word to kill Elijah. He could have, on the call of God, he could have told God, no, I'm not going, because that guy could kill me. It's going to cost me my life. And I wonder it so many times of what we cower to. Many times fear of what someone might think of us, fear of rejection, fear of maybe our reputation, fear of our job, fear of what it may do that leads us to instead cower down or stand in silence. And so here I just want to challenge us to think about, what would God lead you to stand for? Are you willing to? And maybe you don't know it right now, but it may come in the days ahead, that you would even now already decide, I'm going to stand for the Lord no matter what it costs and do what he calls me to do in obedience. And so Elijah, just the name Elijah means my God is Lord. Some would say that it means my God is Yahweh, or meaning the one true God. And so if you are able to, and if you don't mind, stand with me as we read, as we begin reading 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. Now Elijah the Tishbite of Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives before whom I stand, there shall be neither dew nor rain these years except by my word." And the word of the Lord came to him, "Depart from here and turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. You shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. He went and lived by the brook Cherith, that is east of the Jordan. Father, we bow before you. We do ask that you would speak to us through your word. We pray, Father, that there would be things that we would learn of Elijah that we can apply to our own lives. And that, Father, that when you would speak to our hearts or lead us to do something, that just like Elijah, as we read here this morning, that there will be obedience and that we will trust you, knowing that you are God and that you are on the throne and that your plan is much better than ours. So, God, we need you today. Speak to our hearts. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Elijah was one who served the Lord, and he had surrendered to him. This here in verse 1 is the first time we ever even hear of Elijah. And we only know about him as to where he's from. And I tried to find out where Tishbe was, and no one really knows. Many have tried to find it, but no one even knows where it's from. So some translations even try to say that it means just from nowhere, like in the wilderness somewhere. And that may be the case. As we talk about Elijah, though, a couple of things that I found kind of interesting that I wanted to point out to us is Elijah, in many ways, is like Moses. Like Moses, they went and challenged the king, or Moses, the Pharaoh, but they went and stood before them and challenged them to speak on behalf of God. They both received provision from God. Now, we didn't read on in, and we'll tackle that next week, of to what the ravens brought him, but the ravens ultimately would feed him meat and bread. And so he had the same diet as the Israelites did in the wilderness when God provided for them bread and quail and meat and water. And so, in many ways, Elijah was provided for by God in the same way. Both of them went to Mount Horeb for 40 days and 40 nights and spoke with God. Both men were reminded by God himself to come and encourage them in their walk and to remind them of what he has called them to do and when things got difficult. And I think that's really important for us to realize is that God does the same to us. When things are hard or when things get tough, he's right there and he gives us grace and he gives us power and encouragement. They both experienced supernatural miracles that can only be explained by God. You see, these two men were much alike. And I think even as we get to the New Testament, we see that John the Baptist many times was, people thought that maybe he was Elijah. And maybe if Elijah did come from the wilderness, then him and John the Baptist would be more so alike than just the ways in which they spoke. Both of those men called to repentance and spoke, that was their message, and called people to follow the things of the Lord. But we can learn from Elijah. And this is what I wanted us to get to today, is that we can learn from him. We can see some of the things that he did and the ways in which he responded, and we can apply those to our lives. And so the first thing that I want us to realize is that Elijah trusted and believed the word of God. When God spoke, Elijah believed it. And we know that he believed it because of how he responded. He responded with faith, and he responded with action. And I just want to tell us, even in our Bible study this morning, it was the same, that if we believe Jesus and who he is and what he has told us and the word of God that we're able to hold today, then it will radically transform the way that we live our life. Amen? Everything that we do should be birthed from the Word. A good friend of mine, a fellow pastor, something that I got from him, which I'm sure he read somewhere, was that, you know, let the Word of God be the vocabulary that the Holy Spirit uses to lead us or to speak to us. And so we need to know His Word, because He will use that to remind us of what He wants us to do. And this was what Elijah did as well. Now, he responded, we know that he believed what God said because he proclaimed it. This is the first one if you're taking notes. Elijah believed the Word of God, or believed what God said, because he proclaimed it. And I want you to know that if you believe God's Word, then we should be proclaimers of God's Word, right? If we believe it, because if we believe God's Word, then that means our relatives, our family, our friends, our co-workers, if they do not believe in Jesus, then the Word of God says that they will spend eternity separated from God if they do not believe in Jesus. And so if we believe that, then we should be proclaimers of this good news. There's good news. You don't have to spend eternity separated from Him. You can know Him. You can walk with Him. You can be forgiven. You can be set free. This is the good news. And so we need to be proclaimers of that. Well, Elijah proclaimed God's Word, and he went before the king and he proclaimed it. And this was a promise by God that he proclaimed. He didn't just go and make up something. Yeah, I think it would be good if this drought came. No, he went and spoke what God had said. Now, we don't know what prompted Elijah to go and speak before the king. We can assume that it was God. We can assume that God came to him as he was spending time with him. We don't know that. We're not told that. But what we do know is this is not God's first time to say that this would happen if idolatry came upon the land. If you would, hold your spot here in 1 Kings and turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 11. I'll let you get there. Deuteronomy chapter 11. I want you to see what God told the Israelites would happen if they turned and ran after, pursued, and worshipped other gods. Chapter 11, verse 13. God says that if you will indeed obey my commandments that I command you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, he will give the rain for your land in its season, the early rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in your grain and in your wine and your oil. And he will give grass in the fields for your livestock, and you shall eat and be full. Verse 16 says this, take care lest your heart be deceived, and you turn aside to serve other gods and worship them. Then the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you, and he will shut up the heavens so that there will be no rain, and the land will yield no fruit, and you will perish quickly off the good land that the Lord is giving you. You see, God also tells them again in Deuteronomy chapter 28, if you want to mark that down and look at it later in verses 15 and following, that if they turn to other gods, that they'll be destroyed. And so what Elijah ultimately is doing is he believes the Word of God. He knew and had heard that God had spoken these words, so he was proclaiming God's Word before the king. Not only did he proclaim it, but he prayed it. Sometimes I think that we don't know what to pray. The Bible even tells us we don't know how to pray, so the Holy Spirit will intercede for us. But I want to tell you that some of the best praying that I do in my walk with the Lord is when I just pray God's Word. Because it aligns me, right? It reminds me of what He said and His promises. And this is what Elijah has done here. He has prayed what God has already promised. God promised that if they turned to idols, then He would bring drought upon the land. And so when Elijah prays, and we know that he prayed about this because James chapter 5 even tells us about that he prayed for that it would not rain, and that it didn't rain for 3 years and 6 months. And so the prayers of a righteous man are faithful, and he hears them. And so when we when we pray, sometimes if you don't know what to pray, then I want to challenge you, read God's word and pray. And then read God's word and then pray. And then read God's word. You can pray and remind and respond to it. I take it as a conversation, as though God is speaking to me through his word. And then I talk to him about what he's just said. It becomes a relationship in that. Oh, Lord, man, you did some great things right there. Man, what an amazing, and I try to put myself in the story in ways to where I can understand what's being said. If I'm the king and I just heard what Elijah had to say, how would I feel? Man, Lord, did that pierce his heart? How did he respond to that? And I try to ask questions of the Lord to try to understand. And so I pray, and Lord, help me to be like Elijah, that I'll have the faith that when you tell me to do something, I'll proclaim it. And then I'll have the faith to pray like Elijah. One of the greatest, to me, encouragements that we have is, yes, Elijah was like Moses, and we can even point to John the Baptist, but one of the greatest encouragements that James himself in chapter 5 points out is that Elijah was like us, and yet he prayed. And because he prayed and believed what he prayed, it didn't rain. Man, what a great encouragement. That Elijah was a man with a nature just like yours and mine. And yet God used him. And so it is for you and I. Not only did he proclaim it and he pray it, but he obeyed it. God told him, or he believed that God wanted him to go before the king. And as I mentioned a while ago, I'm sure there was great struggle with that. What is he going to do? What if he kills me? But he believed God enough to go and to put his life on the line. And again, I ask the question, what maybe has God been leading you to do that for whatever reason you've given excuses? Maybe it's you don't know enough, you don't know what to say, how will they respond? Maybe it's because of what it might even cost you. Whatever the case is, whatever excuse we give, when God speaks to your heart and leads you to do something, I want to challenge you to identify who it is that's speaking to you. This is the God who has all authority. This is the God who can do anything. This is the God who does miracles. And so when he speaks to your heart to do something, it doesn't mean you go to the pastor and says, hey, I think we need to do this. The church needs to do this. That happens a lot. And sometimes it's some great things that you believe the church ought to do. But what if God is leading you to do that? It's really easy to come tell me what I need to start doing, right? But I'm just saying, what if God speaks to your heart? What if it's because he wants to equip you and lead you to step out in faith to do something that only God can do? Who gets the glory when he uses someone flawed like you and me? When he uses someone weak or shy or, I mean, who gets the glory in that moment? It's the Lord, because he used someone that even you yourself didn't think he could use to do something that we stand back and we look at and we're like, wow, the Lord's hand was definitely on that. Yeah, because he just used someone ignorant like you or me to do that. And that's the whole point. This is what the Bible is all about. And we're even going to see in the life of Elijah that he's no different, that he's flawed and fearful. And that even in that, he runs away from what God would call him to do. Even though we look to men and would call them heroes of the faith, because like Elijah, he's mentioned in that, you know, hero section of Hebrews chapter 11, and we're like, oh man, he's one of those elites. He yet still is flawed and a sinner. And so, man, what hope does that give to you and me? What I'm saying is that so many times we shortchange ourselves. And I think it's even okay to do that, to look at how weak we are, as long as it leads us then to rely upon the one who is not weak, who can do all things. Because then it drives us to our knees to rely upon the one who can. And so maybe you're here today and you're hurting. Maybe you're here today and there is this sin or hindrance that for whatever reason keeps coming, and you've tried. You've even asked God to take it, but for whatever reason, it keeps being there. I want to tell you, God gives us the strength to overcome But it will require steps of faith. It will require steps that you take to overcome and trust in him. But he tells us he gives us grace, so trust him. If he's leading you to go and to talk to someone, then prepare. Maybe ask for wisdom from others, but he's still speaking to your heart and leading you to do that. So trust him. Have faith in him. If he's leading you to make a big decision, maybe it's to let go of something or someone, then trust him. His way is better than ours. Even though I hurt because our foster is going to a grandparent, I still trust the Lord that he has a plan for this guy and that he was with us for a purpose. And I can tell you he was loved while he was with us. And so, man, I pray, but I trust the Lord. Yes, we hurt even in that, but there is still hope that God has a plan. And so what I'm saying is whatever trial, whatever struggle, whatever it is, let it be a reminder to you that this is not our home and that we have a God who is on the throne and has a plan, and we can trust him and we can call to him. And I think an element of this that we leave out way too often is each other. Man, let us confess to one another our struggles. We're told that if we confess our sins to one another, we will be healed. There is a power in even just acknowledging our struggles with another brother and sister that will pray for us and come alongside of us. But there's also strength as we come and as we go to even step out and do the things that he has called us. Tell someone, ask someone to pray with you or to go with you. There's power in that. Over the last couple weeks, I've mentioned a mission trip. The next recent one is one to Suriname. We will be going and going upriver in the jungle to a village among the Saramaccan and build a church for them. We'll also have many opportunities to be able to share the good news as we go in. These are voodoo believing or spirit worshiping people. And so we'll be able to go in and share with them about Jesus, who has the power to overcome the spirits that they're fearful of, right? This is the hope that we get to bring with us. And I tell you that because as Elijah was obedient to the calling, God may be calling one of you to go or to be willing to take that next step. Maybe it's to get a passport or just be prepared for what God may have for you in the future. We have other trips, some going to Guatemala and then even just into Tulsa or even one in the summer here in Skytook where we're going to communities in our, or going to different areas of our community for the sake of building relationships and sharing the gospel. So what I'm saying is that if you believe the word of God, obedience is a byproduct of that because he has called us, he's led us, he has all authority and we can trust him and so obey. Here, in verse 2, listen to what the Lord said. It says, "And the word of the Lord came to him," meaning Elijah, "depart from here and turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook Kerith, which is east of the Jordan. You shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. He went and lived by the brook Kerith. That is east of the Jordan. He was obedient. He took that step. God was specific in what he wanted him to do, and he went. And again, next week we'll look at and talk about how God continued to take care of him and lead him. But man, it is supernatural, and I can't wait for as we do. But today I want to challenge you. What is God leading you to do? Maybe it's a next step. Maybe you have trusted and put your faith in the Lord already, but you've never followed him with believer's baptism to show and to proclaim what God has done in your life. Then maybe that's your next step. Or maybe today you're here and you have not yet trusted or believed in Jesus. I want to tell you, we have a God who loves us so much. You see, you and I, we are sinners. We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And if we were to die and stand before him, all of us would be found guilty because we have broke his law. And the wages of that sin is death. But God in his great love for us, he sent Jesus to come and to die in our place, to pay the price for our sin. The wages of sin is death. Someone had to die, and Jesus died for us. He paid that price. And he tells us that if we would believe in him and trust in what he has done, that he died but didn't stay dead, but rose from the dead, and that he is God, that we could be forgiven of our sin, and more than that, we'd be made brand new. And that he would come and live with us and in us through the power of his Spirit. And so maybe for you, that first step is to trust and believe in what Jesus has done for you. He's died on the cross, and he gives us new life. I don't know what your next step is, but I want to tell you that if you believe his word, then obedience will follow. We know according to his word that he has given us a mission, and that is to go and to make disciples of all nations. What's your next step to that? Is it to be discipled? Is it to be in a group of a few others that you guys would discuss and do life together so that you would know how to live and to walk and what it means to impact others and make disciples of all nations? Maybe it's to start one. Maybe you have already been a part and it's you want to keep that multiplication going. I don't know. But what I want to tell you is that we can trust him and that we need to be obedient to what he has called us to do. Maybe like Elijah, the Lord would lay someone on your heart that you would need to go and to talk to. Oh, don't delay. Trust him. Be obedient to him. If the Lord would lead you, or maybe you would just like a little bit more information about the trip to Suriname. It's in February. If you would like some more information, I'll just right over here on this side of the auditorium. You come up, come talk to me. I would love to give you some details if that may be something that God would have for you, and just directly after service, all right? All right. Well, hey, let's get before the Lord and respond as we continue to worship. Father, we are thankful for your word. We praise you for using men, flawed men like Elijah, and that, Lord, that we're able to have these stories to be able to look at and to learn from. And God, I pray for every man and woman and child here that we too would believe that you would use us, and that each day we would come and surrender ourselves before you, and that we would walk with you and trust you. So, Lord, I pray that you would lead us to the people that are hurting, people who need hope, people that are fearful. And God, I pray that we would be light, that we would bring hope to them. Help us to be proclaimers of your word. Help us to pray, seek your face, and be obedient as you lead us. And so, God, I pray even in this moment, as we respond, as we worship, that God, that you would be here even now. Speak to our hearts. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.